We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes. Good sister.
Tiffany Haddish is back. Welcome.
Hey, boo.
Yay.
How
good
you
morning.
Feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic. How are you feeling?
Good. Blessed, black, and highly favored. You look good.
Yeah.
She did.
I feel good.
There you go.
Yeah.
New book, I Curse You With Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, it's funny everybody's calling it I Curse You With Joy, but I call it, because at the top of the page, if you look at the front page, it mm-hmm. say Tiffany Haddish, I Curse You With Joy.
Got you. Mm.
Yeah, because I think that's important to be. I need to say that, but you can say I Curse You With Joy.
You've been saying that since I've known you. You always do that, like curse people with joy.
Yeah, because there's a lot of unhappy people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, if you look at the internet, you can see it's a lot of hate and anger and sadness out there. And I could, like, you know, combat that with the same thing, or I could say, you know what, look, I curse you with some joy because mm-hmm. you obviously are not happy. Mm-hmm. So I'm sharing some stories in this book. It's a series of essays, if you will, mm-hmm. and I'm sharing some dark things about my existence and how I find the bright side of it, mm-hmm. you know?
What got you to the point to write the book? Was it a particular comment? Was it something that somebody said, or you just was all of the above?
No, I had always wanted to do that book because the first book, Tiffany Haddish, The Last Black Unicorn, mm-hmm. that first one, I had edited down. I had took a lot of stuff out because mm-hmm. it was too long. I don't like super long, but I don't like them too long, mm-hmm. personally. If I'm not going to read it, why would I expect somebody else to read it, right? Mm-hmm. So I took a lot out. So on this next book, I Curse You With Joy, I, you know, all the stuff that I had took out the first book, I put in this book, plus more of the journey of being this, you know, shot out of a cannon star, I guess you would say. And it's been an interesting journey. You know, you guys have known me since the beginning mm-hmm. of the journey. Mm-hmm. You guys have seen the whole ups and downs and all of that. And I'm like, this is the craziest roller coaster. And nobody gives you a manual on how to be famous. Yeah. Nobody gives you a manual on how to handle certain things. And you have to figure it out. And it is hard. It is very hard, but I'm having fun doing it.
What was the most difficult part? You said you figured it out.
The most difficult part was not rolling up on somebody and whooping their ass. Right. Because I'm from the 1900s, and we'll show up to your mama house and beat your ass. Mm-hmm. That's what that's like the good old days. You know, oh, you talking shit? Okay, I'm going to come over there and beat you up. But, you know, when my period come on and I got some time, I will call people. I will make a phone call.
Is it true that there was a rumor that you were actually, I guess you found an app that you could actually find out where these people live or find their number?
Yeah, you can find people. You know, I used to be married to a private investigator, so I know how to get in your business if I want to.
Right.
And so when the lady in the red dress show up, I become a little evil, and I be having time sometimes. Sometimes I have time. And so then I decided to take that time to invest in people that like to talk shit. And I'll put your business out there. Not like dox you or nothing like that, but, you know, I'll call you or I'll make comments on your page. And you won't know it's me, but I'll make comments about, you know, police records and shit.
So when you call these internet trolls, you call saying this is Tiffany Haddish?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be like, is this... blah, blah, blah. And they be like, yep. I be like, this Tiffany Haddish. They be like, what? Nah. What? No, this is Tiffany Haddish. First of all, I want to say, I know you love me because you spent 3 hours making a video. The video was 3 hours. So I know you spent at least 6 editing it and all of that, right. Like searching for pictures and finding like, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. Yeah. Or, you know, I see your whole YouTube page is about me. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I wanted to let you know that I'm about to monetize your videos. Because, you know, you use some of my content in there. So I'm going to need to get paid too.
That's right.
And they be like, you crazy. Ain't no way this is you. No. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I have endometriosis. And so I'm using it.
Yeah.
I'm using it. I'm using the energy towards something positive.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to let you know, hi.
Yeah.
I know you love me.
Was Lately writing tripping. Your book therapeutic for you, though? Like, in any way?
I don't know. I've been in therapy so long. I don't know. I don't know if it was therapeutic. I felt like it was more so informative for others. Mm-hmm. Like, it was my way of sharing for others. Some parts are a little cathartic or whatever. But for me, it was more so... like, I want people to know they're not the only person going through what they're going through. Mm-hmm. Like, and just because somebody's famous doesn't mean they're not a regular human being and that they're not, there's not good days. There's good days, but there's not, like, bad days. Sometimes it's more bad days than good. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, I don't know, dealing with losing my grandma really kind of just threw me for a loop. Yeah. Like, and I feel like... I feel like my soul was like, look, we done had too many losses at this point, so we gonna have to sit down and deal with it. And if you don't sit down and deal with it, I'm gonna make you do things that's gonna have to make you sit down and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was this one of those things? Mm-mm. Was the book one of those things?
Mm-mm. That was always in the plan. That was always something I had been working on. Mm-hmm. I think getting arrested was one of those things that made go, oh, let me sit down and let me look at this.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be all of that. All of those arrest stories will be in the next book. Tiffany Haddish. I'm still here, bitch.
Yeah. Was the daddy issues chapter hard?
That was the hardest one.
Yeah.
That was the hardest one. Even thinking about it is hard. That was the hardest one. Because I realized, like, man, it's hard not having a dad. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when I met my dad, it was like, I was a little girl all over again. Mm. And, like, I remember everything about him. And, you know, even though I was 3 years old, the last time I saw him, I remember how he smelled. I remember what he sounded like. And I could just hearing his voice, my whole soul lit up. Like, nobody sound like my daddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody could be my daddy. And so, but there was years I was trying to find my dad, like, you know, through other men and through whatever. I was doing stupid shit. I was dumb. And there's a lot of us out here like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can pull past all that and grow and be successful. You about to make me cry.
Is it true? Do women really look for that in men? Like, do they look for somebody that's like their daddy?
I don't know. I don't know what other women looking for. I know what I was looking for. Yeah, I was looking for like safety.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to feel safe. I wanted to feel like no fear.
Mm-hmm.
for so many years growing up, it was like every day was scary. You know, it's be scared every day. So then to decide, like, I'm not going to be scared no more, and I'm going to find somebody that's going to, you know, do this with me and protect me and love on me and hold me and, like, take care of me and kiss on me and tell me I'm doing good, you know? It's hard to find. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm a little bit, I'm a little difficult.
Yeah.
I'm sweet, though.
how do you mean
I'm
you're
a little difficult? I want to do what I want to do.
Okay.
Because I never, that's part of, I think, not growing up with the father is like, I don't know how to, I know how to take orders, right? And I know how to get things done. If you ask me to do something, I'm going to get it done for you. But I'm going to do it on my time when I feel like it. Mm-hmm. And if a man's like, I need you to call me when you leave out of here. I want you to be here at this time, whatever. If I'm not getting a paycheck, I'm going to show up when I feel like it. I'm going to be at your house when I feel like coming to your house. I think that's been the biggest issue is like, I don't want to feel like I got an answer to this man because you're not paying my mortgage. You're not like, if I'm just humping on you, then like,
But
if we in a relationship, I feel like there's some common courtesy, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't have to do back bends for you.
Especially if the man ain't making that kind of commitment. You got to make a real commitment.
You need to be like my husband. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then I might be like, okay, I'll mold myself into what I need to be if I need to even mold myself. But the fact that I'm saying mold myself means it's a problem.
Yeah.
So you've never
need to be okay with me being how I am and who I am. Yeah. And if you don't like it, something I'm doing, inspire me to do different. Mm-hmm.
So you've never had that type of relationship yet where you would be like, okay, I'm gonna let this man lead. Like, no one has ever shown you that they were worth that.
I let men lead all the time. I let them lead, but that don't mean I'm gonna follow all the way.
You don't like the direction. Especially if you don't like the direction.
Yeah, but I'm going to let you lead and then it starts seeing like, this is not going, this don't feel safe. This don't feel safe, I'm not going to be like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I need to feel safe. I need to feel like this is where I'm going to be, like, spiritually, I need to feel safe. Emotionally, I need to feel safe. Physically, I need to feel safe. Mm-hmm. Financially, I need to feel safe. And I don't need to be feeling like I'm being used. If I feel any type of way of I'm being used or manipulated in some kind of way, no. And if you're using me, tell me you're using me so I can use you to, like, I can help you use me better. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to be used. We all are here to be used for some purpose, something, right? Mm-hmm. So, but tell me what you're using me for, and I might help you get it done better. Don't do it sneakily or whatever and like think I'm stupid because I'm not. I might be setting you up to get fucked.
Mm. Use me, don't misuse me.
Yeah. Use me, don't abuse me.
Yeah.
Now you said something about, you know, not having that father figure that you wanted in your life. So how have you dealt with it? Because, you know, have you used somebody else? Is it a sister figure, a brother, or something else that you lean on when you have those feelings?
When I have those feelings, I call my brothers. I call, like, getting in a stand-up for me was, like, I guess building, like, a bunch of, like, a force field around me of men that I think will keep me safe, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have. A lot of them have protected me over the years, and I can get all the hugs I want and, like, words of encouragement that I need. Like, that's why I love stand-up so much. I remember being, like, 16 years old going to, like, do a set on a regular night at the Laugh Factory, and all the comics gave me hugs. Every single man gave me a hug, and I didn't feel like they was going to do something to me.
It didn't feel sexual. It felt like
family, like support, like, hey, I know how you feel. Like, I'm here for you. I'm not trying to put my dick in you. That's what it felt. It felt like people care. And that's what, I guess, kept me really in the comedy club. That's what kept me coming back is I needed that support. I needed men to talk to about, like, am I crazy right now? Does this make sense? And then I could call any of them at any time. Charlamagne, I'll randomly call and talk to for hours on it. Like, it's, I feel like I got a gang of big brothers and father figures, like Tom Dreesen, old white man, but he give me some of the best advice, and he'll hold me. I'll be crying and he'll just hold me. You know,
or
I'll bring guys that I'm like dating by him, mm-hmm. and he'll be like, "Yep, that one's not gonna make it, Tiffany. Don't even, don't even. Let that guy go. He's not gonna make it."
Do you listen to him when he says that?
Yeah, I do. Oh, okay. At first, I didn't listen to him, and he was right every single time. He was mm-hmm. like, "This man is not gonna be able to handle your growth. You're growing. He's not gonna be able to grow with you. Mm-hmm. He's not gonna be able to handle your star power. Look how he's acting right now." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "No, he good. That's it. He's protecting me." He's like, "No, he's insecure. Mm. It's not gonna work for you."
You keep wow. using a word that I think we don't use enough, which is safety.
Yeah.
We gotta feel safe around each other.
Right.
Like that's the whole purpose of community, to make each other feel safe. If we're not making each other feel safe, what's the point?
Yeah, it's no point in me even mm-hmm. spending time with you or talking to you or wasting any energy on mm-hmm. you. If I don't feel safe with you, I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. I'll ghost you. I'm gonna ghost you. I'll just be like, I don't feel safe, and then I will not answer no more phone calls.
and that should be enough. Like, you know, you got a chapter called "How I Keep My Ass in Check."
Mm-hmm.
Tiff, you're not the easiest person to keep in check. So who's keeping you in check?
Me.
Okay.
Me.
How you do it?
How do I do it? Yeah. I reprimand myself from time to time. I
put yourself on punishment.
I do put myself on punishment. Times mm-hmm. out. And I look at, you know, sometimes you got to look at like certain behavior and be like, why'd you do that on this day? Why? Well, I know why I did it. The world don't understand why you did mm-hmm. it, but you know why you did it. And, what I'm eating, I notice too, like what I eat causes me to act a certain kind of way. Too Ooh. Much sugar. I get a little bit aggressive and mm-hmm. stuff. Too much alcohol, I get aggressive. If I don't get enough sleep, I will take a nap in a white community and the police will show up. The police will show up, guaranteed. And then I feel safe again.
You feel safe again?
Do not feel safe. Yeah. But Beverly Hills Police Station is beautiful. Mm. I did feel safe there. But yeah, I mean, I'm not perfect. I keep myself in check as best I can. I treat everybody the way I want to be treated. Mm. When I do wrong, I admit to my mistakes. You know, I accept responsibility for my mistakes mm. and I grow from them. I'm not big on making the same mistake twice, but I'm definitely working on boundaries. Like, cause I want to help everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you call, like, if you somebody I care about and you call, like, I need this, I need that, I need help with this, I will come and help. It's funny. Like my immediate family, the people I care about more than anybody, they'll barely call on me because they know that I'll show up or mm-hmm. that I'll talk shit, but I'll still show up. I only talk mm-hmm. shit to them. I don't talk shit to everybody else. Just my immediate family.
What's been safe? Mm-hmm. What makes you feel safer? Or what's been safer? Hollywood or just like before Hollywood? Like just being...
Being poor was way safer.
Right.
Being... I feel like I was hood famous anyway. So, mm-hmm. Like everybody in my community knew who I was. Everybody in South Central, I feel like knew who I was. So I felt pretty safe. I could go to any gang community and chill. I go to all the hood days. Mm-hmm. I can't do that no more. I have done it. And they like, "Girl, what you doing up here? You better get from up over here. Get out of here." Like, "You can't be over here on the hood day." Like, "Fuck y'all, I'm over here for like 15 minutes and then I'm gonna go to the spot."
And you know everybody. I guess when you're in the community, you know who's who.
Yeah, I know.
In this business, you don't know who's who.
Yeah, you don't know who's who. In this business, it's like, you know, it's a bunch of wolves in sheep clothing and you just gotta know how to smell out the wolves. You gotta figure out who's who. And I mean, you can figure out pretty quick. I mean, I feel like I have been able to figure it out pretty quick. Like, if they always asking you to do something, but when you ask them to do something, they're not available for mm-hmm. you. That's a problem. You know what was crazy? Like, after I got arrested, everybody was calling my phone like, "If you need me, if you need a ride, call me. So everybody that said call me, send me those text messages, "You should have called me," whatever. Mm-hmm. I wrote all their names down. And then I start calling these motherfuckers at 2 in the morning, 12 o'clock at night, 10:30. They don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
So then I just start blocking them. Boundaries.
Dang.
Blocking them. Mm-hmm.
I start blocking them because they always add, those are the same people that always ask me for something. Mm-hmm. But never are available for me when I need something. Mm-hmm. So I just start blocking them. So it's a lot of people out here right now probably like, "Dang, I ain't talked to Tiffany since she got out of jail." Mm. Like, yeah, because you don't answer my phone calls.
Now it says you haven't been drinking in 7 months.
Has it been 7 months? No. I haven't had sex since October.
Oh, since
that's
October.
That's 7 months.
Oh, that's it says so, sober. No, and it's been
about, I haven't what, four, drank three. Since November 20. What was the 23rd? When was Thanksgiving? 23rd?
23rd, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How is it affecting your comedy? You know, sometimes when you look at comedians or even rappers, actors, sometimes that's what they use because they're used to it. They drink and they do a show. So that fact that you haven't drank it, does it make your show, is it easier? Is it more difficult? Are you seeing clearer?
I see everything more clear for sure. And but I didn't really drink before shows. I would probably drink during the, like while I'm on stage. I would have a drink while I'm on stage. But like before, no. I didn't smoke no weed before, none of that, not before the show. But maybe by the second or third show of the night, I'm probably lit as shit because I started drinking on the first show.
Yeah.
But I notice now, like by if there's more than two shows in the night, by the end of that second show, I'm sleepy.
You tired?
I'm so tired. Mm-hmm. I'm so sleepy. I just want to go to bed. Like I want to go to bed at 10 o'clock, 9:30, and you know, but comedy happens at night, and then I've been getting up super early in the morning working out, so I make sure I get my nap after. Afternoon nap. If I don't get no nap in the afternoon, I'm pretty much fucked the rest of the evening. But I feel like my comedy is I've been listening to it because I record every set. I've been recording every set for the last like 5 years and through my phones and my recording devices. And I was listening to like before my grandma died, how much joy was in my voice, mm-hmm. and then like after my grandma died, mm-hmm. like I don't know, I'm about to like maybe. GD, yeah, you know, when Jesus died, it was before Jesus' death,
BC.
It was BC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you BG.
BG, yeah. Before grandma. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but.
BGAG.
Yeah, BGAG, yeah. Anyways, I just noticed there's a big difference in like, people are like, oh, you saying you look good, you feeling good, like your energy's good. And mm-hmm. I do feel good, and I am happy for the most part, but I feel like there's this huge grief hanging over me. Mm. Like,
that's
I just
normal.
Feel like, grief.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah. Do you write on that?
Yeah, I write on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I talk about it on stage, how I like deal with my grief. Like some days it'd be so heavy, I'm like, oh, I gotta do something for granny today. And I'll put a picture of her up in the backyard. I put on some music and I do rhythmic dance from gymnastics and with ribbons and stuff and I dance around in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And I hope nobody ever sees that. it's just for my grandma and God.
What do you think got you more focused? No dick or no alcohol?
No dick. Mm. Mm-hmm. Cause I was drinking and wasn't getting no dick.
Okay.
Still, no dick keep me focused.
Good.
Seems like you thinking about something now.
Yeah, I was waiting for something else. Yeah.
Your eyes did wander. Like, it didn't look like you might
I just had a flash of some dicks in my head. Just a flash of some. And I'm just like, it's mediums. My faves.
So did you stop smoking weed too?
No, I'm back smoking weed. I started back smoking weed after my court date.
Okay.
She said mediums.
I'm not going to drink no more. I decided I probably will never drink alcohol again until like I'm engaged to get married, mm-hmm. just so he can see like my full crazy.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there's no restrictions. I feel like though I had more restrictions. I was way too nice. Mm. I feel like when I would be drinking, I'd be way too nice, way too accommodating, and probably way too loud because alcohol make you deaf. yeah. And I think I'm a little meaner now. I'm quick to tell people no now.
I don't think that's mean. You just set boundaries.
Yeah, boundaries. I feel like boundaries is mean though. It can be. It
can
be.
You gotta protect your peace too.
I know. I'm protecting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm protecting it.
And it may have been something that you learned. It's okay to have boundaries and be selfless. I mean, be selfish sometimes because when you're too selfless, that's how people take advantage of you. And
yeah.
You saying you're too nice. No, that's. You actually putting that boundary in place. That's good. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be mean a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like I told the dude last night that was trying to take a picture with me. Hell nah.
Mm-hmm.
Taking no picture with you. You was talking shit about me.
Mm-hmm. Who? Oh, somebody you know?
Somebody I seen online talking shit. And they're like, oh my God, Tiffany, it's you. Let me get a picture. I was like, no.
Ain't they the worst? Mm.
No, I don't want to take no picture with you.
Yeah.
Where was you at?
None of your business.
Okay.
And yeah,
there you go. That's
boundaries.
Good. I like that.
Good.
I was in the streets.
Boundaries. Boundaries.
So this is somebody you remember from seeing on Instagram?
I seen him on Instagram talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
I had started doing a report on him. I was going to call, but I decided not to. I got busy.
Damn.
I got folders on niggas.
Talk to us about the You Get What You Give chapter.
Oh, yeah. So the You Get What You Give chapter is all about, like, you know, whatever you're giving out, that's what's coming back. And it's really about, I think, what you're giving to yourself. Like, how you talk to yourself, how you treat yourself. I notice, like, things go bad or people attack me in the world when I've been already attacking me for, like, a week. I already been talking mess about myself. And, like, and then I'm like, dang, why the world going off on me? I'm like, oh, wait. I started this. I started it. I started going off on me first. I was upset, you know, or going, you know, ham on me, talking crazy to myself in the mirror, like, oh, look at you. Your nose is big. Your this is that. You're like, oh, your eyes this. You're, you know, like just going off. And when, I noticed when I start talking positive about myself, when I start saying, get up in the morning, look at myself in the mirror and go, I love you, Tiffany. Yeah. I'm proud of you, Tiffany. You are killing it, girl. I love and approve of you, Tiffany Haddish. You are doing very well today. Yes, you are. And when I go outside, that's what I'm getting back. Mm. And that's what I'm seeing online. But I can always tell, like, oh, yeah, my cycle coming because I'm being mean to me. I'm being mean to others. Like, when I figure out the cure to endometriosis, I'm going to be a much happier person.
What is that again? I remember you
endometriosis.
I you explained it last time. I forgot. What?
Inflammation of the uterus.
Got you,
when
you
grow
got you,
extra
got you.
Lining. Got yes. You. Yes. That's why I like mediums.
But don't that make all penises feel big?
Yeah, I guess. Well, yeah. I haven't had all penises.
Yeah.
Right.
Not
all. I mean, that's
about
size,
the
size.
Sizes.
Can you not do that with your hand when you talk like
hey,
that?
Shut up, man.
Just ask that question, man.
So many times that sex hurts, obviously.
Yeah, it's painful. Okay, it can be painful.
There's some little guys out there you done moan for, and they think they got it.
They do got it with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he got it with me.
I get it.
Yeah. It's somebody for everybody.
You remember when you was doing the little dick joke? Remember you? It was when you was on stage saying how much you love this medium.
You must have hurt his feelings. He keep bringing the penises up.
Shut up. Yes. was the person you were dealing with at that time upset?
I don't think so.
Shane ain't check.
I don't give a fuck. Like, that's a part of my problem in relationships. I'm doing my job. I don't ask you. You know, I don't be sitting up commenting on how you doing your job. Right. I'm doing my job. I did not ask. Mm-hmm. I do not know. I don't know. I'm going to ask him.
You going
to
ask him?
He still tried to come around, so I don't think it was
a
problem.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's an apartment building manager.
Oh, I know that's right.
I can't do it. His credit score ain't good enough no more. His car got repossessed. I had to close my legs.
Damn. Did you help him out?
So hold on now.
No. Oh. I never spend more than $20 on a man.
Damn, that wasn't gonna get his car out.
Mm. No, that ain't gonna get his car out.
Oh,
but he got
down.
It. He got it out on his own.
You never spend more than $20 on a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cause he a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a woman, and I want him to feel like a man.
But even when you Tiffany Haddish, who you are, and he's the apartment manager, you got more than him. You still only gonna spend $20 on him? You still want him?
I'm gonna make sure I look good.
Okay.
I'm gonna make sure I'm pretty. Mm-hmm. So that's expensive. Mm-hmm. He not buying my clothes and getting my nails done and stuff and. Buying all these wigs and shit. I am. Mm. So.
But where does he have to take you? Like, what do you expect from him as the apartment?
I expect fun and adventure. So, like, we went to, like, arboretums. We went to, like, islands, restaurant, cool little, you know, family restaurants and stuff. Whatever he can afford. That's fun.
And then if you're an apartment manager, a building manager, why you can't get your car out?
Because he didn't pay his rent. I mean, he didn't pay his car note.
Yeah, because he don't own the building.
No, he don't own the building.
Yeah. Okay.
He living rent free.
Oh, wow.
Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I see why he still be trying to come around then.
So, although you are celibate, you don't talk to nobody right now. You're not.
I'm talking to like five dudes.
Okay.
I go to dinner and all that.
Big Tiff. So, how is that?
It's fun.
Okay.
We have a good time.
Good. And they know, like, no, I'm not getting away. It's like, I'm not, they know that.
Well, there's always a potential. I mean, I'm not putting myself in positions to do that either.
Okay.
I tried one of them. I've been trying to fuck for a long time. And it was like, you know what? Let me just stop.
Okay. And that's because you're like, no, sometimes you get tempted, but then you're like, no. I'm keeping up my own shit.
I don't know if he gay or not. I don't know.
Oh my God. So you still got to see.
I'm confused.
Okay.
Yo. He say he not.
Okay.
You asked him?
Mm-hmm.
So you tried to holler at him and he wouldn't be like, are you gay?
No. No.
Y'all go out?
Yeah.
She said they'd be on
dates. On trips and all kind of stuff.
Is this mannerisms? Is it something that you...
No, we be in the same bed. I'm like, why, like, you know...
Oh, why haven't you tried to initiate something?
You know, a little, you know, put my booty on him and
all
that.
A little poke out thing and everything?
You know, walk around butt naked and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is he gay?
You put his head up when he walk around butt naked or he look?
He look. He be looking.
Now, Tiff, you a straightforward person. You ask everybody everything. Why you asked him, I'm sure. Why
I asked him.
And what did he say? What was his answer?
And he said... He respect me and that he right. values our friendship and that, you know, it like he don't want to mess up our friendship. Mm. And I'm like, mess this friendship up. Fuck this friendship. Fuck this friendship hard. I could tell you it's medium.
Mm. Oh, my God.
I could tell. I could look at his hands and tell he it's medium.
That is so interesting. I wonder why he don't want to take things to the next level. But you got to respect it, though.
I respect it. Yeah, I respect it. And so now I'm like, oh, okay. And then I start doing that with everybody. So.
What, telling, giving them that same line the guy gave you?
Yeah.
I respect our friendship.
I want to respect our friendship. We have so much fun together, don't we? We do all kind of fun, adventurous stuff.
Okay.
We go cool places. Like, come on, let's not fuck.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Put that friendship up. Mm-hmm.
So you're not celibate. You just...
I just haven't. Okay. I mean, I've been making out and stuff.
Yeah.
I got fingered. Does that count?
You too old to be getting
no.
fingered.
No, I'm never too old. You are never too old for a good finger bang.
Oh my God. I got fingered.
Yeah.
That sounded like so.
High school. Why?
And he ain't want to do nothing after that.
I haven't seen his EIN number yet. I don't know. You know, I need to do a full background check. I can't just let him in.
So he didn't want to do nothing else.
No, he wanted to do other stuff, but I was like, no.
Imagine being grown as hell, going crazy. You're trying to get that.
I'm going to get a heart attack, man.
Lord,
first of all, I don't like the way you did that. I don't like you did it like that. First of all, that looks painful.
Yes, exactly.
And your nails might be a little too long for me. Yeah. I don't know about that. This shit right here, that's not giving. That's not giving at all. That's not giving. That's not going to make me take my panties off. That's for sure. They to the side, and now I'm pulling them back over. Clothes, mm-mm. This shit, no. Nah. No.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Break down Big Tip Energy, man.
Big Tip Energy is about when I was doing stand-up and I was struggling. And I did this one podcast and the guy gave me a prosthetic penis. And it was like a limp one. And I was like, what the hell am I going to do with this? And he's like, oh, just take it. Like, so I took it. And I started noticing like just like the comedy scene is so male-dominated, right? Mm-hmm. And the men always looking out for the other men. And I'm like, why they not looking out for me? Like, I'm cool. I show up on time. Mm-hmm. I might not be the funniest, but I'm definitely funny. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but they look out for their whomever, right? Mm-hmm. And so one day I was just like, I'ma just see what's up. And so I don't know why I did it, but it's in the book why I did it. But I put the prosthetic limp penis in my panties, and I started walking around with it. And I would go to the comedy club with it in. Now, I didn't tell nobody it was in. It's just like, I don't know, maybe I walk different. I don't know. But the men started mm-hmm. treating me different. Everybody started treating me a little different. Mm-hmm. Booking me for more stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just like, what up, Tip? Giving me better hugs. I don't mm-hmm. know if they was trying to feel my dick. I don't mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. If they could feel the energy, maybe I had big dick energy. I don't know. So we call it Big Tiff Energy. Mm-hmm. And maybe I was just walking different. My confidence was different. My comedy got funnier. And I don't know if it's because I had something dangling there, but it just... That's what I'm talking about. That just
you was ahead of your confidence. Time. You was Flame before Flame.
I had already met Flame. Okay. Flame titties, the only female titties I ever like touched.
Really?
That wasn't my own or my mama's.
Soft.
Wow.
Soft.
They was nice.
I know that's.
I was jealous.
I know.
I was like, is my titties ever gonna grow that big? Never. Never. Flame's titties is nice. Flame's got really nice titties. And I'm jealous.
Shout out to Flame. Now, have you and Monique had a conversation?
But I think my dick bigger than Flame's dick.
Oh, my goodness. Was,
yours isn't real.
So. So what? So what?
Have you and Monique had a conversation since she was on Club Station?
No, we have not had no conversation. Mm. We barely ever had a conversation, ever. Mm. I've, you know, tried to talk to her here and there or whatever, but no, we haven't had no conversation. I slid in her DMs and she got my number if she checked.
Mm. Oh, you just sent her your number to hit you
up? No, I sent her a statement.
a statement.
And here's my number too.
And here's my number if you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
What do you think of that the whole state of black comedy since the top of the year? It's like since Cat Williams did that interview, it feel like everybody just been kind of at each other. Like it's almost like you go to Club Shay Shay just to get at other comedians.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Godfrey didn't go at other comedians.
No, Godfrey didn't.
Rel didn't go at other comedians.
Rel did a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I don't know. I feel like that's something we do in the club. Like, if you got some beef with somebody, you, like, tell them to their face. Yeah. I mean, I know I have. I've definitely gone up to people in their face and said, I don't like you, you know, or what you did was fucked up. I ain't feeling that. Like, I haven't had to do it too often because there's not too many people that, like, really get on my nerves like that. Mm-hmm. Just a few people. Mm-hmm. Just a few people. But, I mean, that's comedy. Like, you're supposed to... It's a little challenge. But I don't know about doing it in front of the world like that. I don't know about all that.
Yeah. It seemed like there was a brunch this weekend. I think a Netflix brunch this
weekend. Oh, yeah,
that was fun. You were there?
Yeah, I was there.
It seemed like everybody that was beefing with each other were all in the same room.
You know what was crazy? We was outside. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we wasn't in the same room. We was outside. And everybody was there. And Kat was there. And he was looking very interesting.
He had his white mask on.
He was looking very interesting, very shiny. And it was super cool. And he's talking to everybody, moving around the room and stuff, talking to everybody. And then as soon as Kevin got there, nobody could find Kat. I don't know where Kat went, but then he did perform live. But it was like 1:00
in the afternoon.
The brunch started at 12:00.
Okay,
and then I think Kevin got there like 1:30, and then Kat was gone.
I seen Dave Chappelle. I seen Kat. I seen Kev. I seen like all the comedians that were, quote unquote, beefing, were all in the same place. I was like, oh, maybe they all.
Well, they not all.
Yeah, we took a big class picture too. We took a big old picture. Mm-hmm. But
Kat was in the picture too?
No, Kat was not there. Kat left.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right as Kevin pulled up.
Yeah. If y'all took the picture before Kevin got there, you think he would have been in the picture?
Did you speak to Kat?
No. Mm-hmm. No. I smiled and waved.
You cursed him with joy?
And he looked at me. I don't think he recognized me because I had a wig on, so I don't think he realized it was me. That's what I'm telling myself. Or he just was like, I ain't fucking with her right now. She could talk crazy to me.
But that's fine though.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody put their boundaries up. I'd rather y'all not speak than see each other in public and be cursing at each other.
I wouldn't. First of all, I love me some Kat. Me and Kat ain't got no beef. I mean, he do like saying my name, and I think it's because my name garnishes clicks for some reason, especially if you say like one negative thing around my name, everybody's clicking on like, oh fuck, what the fuck she do now? What she do now? So like, and I think he knows that he's a genius. So he's like, okay, what's gonna get me the clicks? What's gonna get the, you know? He just randomly will say my name and don't say shit else. Just Tiffany Haddish and Laugh Factory. And then let me tell you about this nigga Kevin. Like, I don't make no sense. He's like, I'm the one that put her on. She was in school dance with me. And I'm like, I never said that you didn't put me on or that you did, but Nick Cannon did put me in school dance for that role, Cat Williams. But we did kill that shit together. Like, we did that together, and that was fucking awesome. And it's like a viral moment online, and I love Cat. I sent him a script, and he's like, oh, we gotta work on the writing on this script. Okay, let's work on it. Who do you want to write? Like, whatever. Like, let's make it happen. Let's make a movie. Yeah. Like, I love him. I think he's super talented.
It is strange when people try
to... But he do get on my motherfucking nerves sometimes.
It is strange when people act like you didn't come up like everybody else. Like, you was in the comedy clubs, you busted your ass, you did all of that.
Cat put me out the club at the Hollywood Park Casino. I was underage, and he was doing the Hollywood Park Casino every week, and I was too young to be in there, and he put me out. Be like, you ain't got no idea, you can't be in here, and like, he would put me out. And then finally, I was old enough, and he let me perform, and then he commenced to roasting me for like probably 20 minutes after I got off stage. And I felt so proud. I was like, Cat Williams is talking about me. I was so happy.
He was roasting you back then.
He was roasting me back then. He roasted the shit out of me. I'm like, do you remember this? He's like, no, Tiffany, I do not remember this. I showed him a picture. He was like, oh, that was your skinny ass? Yeah, that was me, bro. Mm-mm-mm. Like, so I feel honored. Mm-mm-mm. You know, it's funny because some people don't even like I remember them, but they don't remember me. They like, no, we just met. Da-da-da. I'm like, no, we met back in 2001 at this place. And they're like, no. And then I show them a picture and they're like, oh shit. Like, yeah. And you were kind of mean. But now you're nice, so I'm cool.
Yeah. Well, they're nice because you are who you are now.
That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. But I've been around a long time, since 1996.
Yeah.
Damn, I was four.
Damn.
I know.
I could have been your babysitter. I would have braided your hair.
You would have braided my hair.
And I've been like, girl, we finna go to the swap meet. Okay? We finna go to the swap meet. I need you to be like holding my hand and say, I'm a good mom.
What's up with this adult prom? Are you throwing an adult prom?
Yeah, I'm throwing an adult prom May 31st for the She Ready Foundation. And it's now like our gala. It's our thing. Like, we did it last year. And it was super dope. Snoop came. Paris Hilton came. Mario showed up and sang. Like, and they Snoop performed. And Paris DJed. And Jimmy Kimmel was there. And Bert Kreischer. And Joe Coy, and like all my favorite, like many of my favorite people. Jason Lee was there. We honored him for like all the work he been doing in the community. And we had so much fun. We raised a bunch of money. Rel was there. He bought a trip to Africa. I don't even know if he took the trip to Africa yet or not, but we auctioned off these really cool trips and fun things. And it's a good time. It's a good time. And it's for all the people. Like, I decided to go with the prom thing because I've been to three proms. I've been to prom a bunch of times, but a bunch of people in this industry, in the Hollywood industry, and adults just in general, have never been to prom. They never got to go. Maybe they was gay and they couldn't go with their lover. No, seriously, in 1900s, you know, they couldn't, like, when by the time you went to prom, it probably was cool, right?
It wasn't really many gays.
It wasn't that many gays?
Yeah, 2010, I guess people were still scared.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was in high school. I went to a predominantly white high school. Not many people were gay that I knew of.
That you knew of?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay, well, in California, for sure, it was some gays.
Yeah.
And you was in Baltimore.
I grew up Baltimore, born and raised, but then my mom, I got into a lot of trouble when she sent me to school in Pennsylvania. So I went to a predominantly white high school.
You was in a boarding school?
York, Pennsylvania, and it was a college preparatory school.
So you was in boarding school?
No.
Where did you sleep at?
In my house. Oh. And then I woke up and went to school.
Oh, okay. Because Pennsylvania is right there next to Baltimore like that? Like, how far away?
York, Pennsylvania. It was like an hour away, straight up.
So you had to go an hour to school every day?
No, my mom, we moved up there. She bought a house there, and she still had a house in Baltimore. She and my dad would commute back and forth from Baltimore to Pennsylvania.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because they's homeowners.
Yes.
So you got an inheritance.
Yes, I guess.
Why are you upset about your inheritance?
Yeah, because now I'm thinking about it like, no, I ain't inherit shit. Like, from them. No, I ain't got no. No,
they still own the homes?
Huh?
They still alive.
Yeah.
Both of my parents,
Yeah, and they still own the homes, right?
Yeah, they still own them.
Yeah. So if something happens
to them,
it's going to come to you.
Hopefully, yes. Let's see how they feel about that. Did they do
a living will and trust?
I bet they have. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as they did a living will and they left it to you got sisters and brothers?
Two. Yeah, it's three of us.
You was thinking about that.
I was thinking about it. Yeah. It's three of us all together. I just don't know who. You know, how sometimes when people die, the people who think they're gonna get something, they probably don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it may be like.
Are you the oldest?
No, I'm middle.
You're the middle child.
Big brother, little sister.
Okay, so then what happens usually is it's like you want to make sure they get a will or like a trust.
Okay.
Because if it's a will, they can still go to probate, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's a trust, now whatever they say, they control the money from the grave. Okay, you control it from the grave. And then whatever they say in there, that's who we go to.
Okay.
Right? And then you and your sister and brother could decide to sell it, but y'all shouldn't. Y'all should turn it into income property. And then y'all have money coming in all the time, no matter what. Mm. And when y'all struggling or whatever, y'all can always pull a HELOC out or, you know, a little mortgage or something out on that house. And then y'all always have.
She's speaking from experience.
Yeah. What she said.
Got a whole chapter in my head.
Yeah, somebody go to jail. Boom, we got a house here that we can put up. You know what I'm saying? And we can keep you up out of there and get you a good lawyer. Okay. You know what I'm saying? And then if you beat the case, maybe we might get some of that money back.
Okay.
Yeah, but I try not to, you know, you like bail bondsmen.
Okay.
You put the money up. Mm-hmm. Like if the money's in the family, we put the money up and then we can get that back.
You better teach.
And then, when we get that back, then we put that in your hands and you better not fucking go to jail again, bitch, or we jumping you. Straight up.
I don't know about that part, but yeah, straight up. Factual.
We gonna jump you.
That's
like
why you
now,
gotta read the My Inheritance chapter.
That's
yeah.
right. That's
right. Yeah.
Oh, we got the book, hard copy of the book.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you gotta get so the book. Good. I gotta ask you.
Uh-huh.
A lot going on.
Uh-huh.
Drake, Kendrick, what's your thought? Gotta ask you. What's your thought?
She West Coast to the core.
What's your thought?
Okay. But then you Jewish too.
Ooh. I am Jewish.
So you got
ooh. Ooh. So, look. I'm a Jewish businesswoman and I'm about what's entertaining. And if I'm going with the entertainment factor of it all, Kendrick is killing that ass. Mm-hmm. Like, I am very entertained. He got all the good punchlines. Drake got good punchlines and all that too. Mm-hmm. And I just want to give Drake, you doing a good job. I'm proud of you because you know he's sensitive. Mm-hmm. He went off on me before.
He went off on you?
He's very sensitive.
In your DMs?
No, not in my DMs, in my face. He told me. I didn't like that. That hurt my feelings.
What did you say about
him? I'm sorry. I will not talk about that no more. Although I did tell you I was going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And he said it hurt his feelings. And I said, okay, I'm sorry.
What did you talk about?
I talked about how his daddy, I told him I wasn't going to talk about it no more, but I'm going to talk about it. Mm. His daddy be trying to holler.
His daddy trying to holler at you.
His daddy be trying to holler. He don't like that. I said, I'd much rather be your baby mama than your stepmama.
He ain't like that. That hurt his feelings?
That hurt his feelings.
That's kind of like play hating on your daddy, though, a little bit, right? Like, why you cock blocking your daddy? If your daddy trying to holler, why you mad at
him? I don't want a dad. I like his dad, but not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But why would it hurt his feelings that his daddy tried to holler at you?
Because I talked about it on stage.
Oh, got you.
I talked about it.
There was a lot of people that knew that then, since you talked about it on stage and it got back to him. He's probably like, oh, no.
His daddy's interesting. But no,
you went on a date with his daddy?
No, I didn't go on a date with his daddy. I said he's interesting. No, I see him at different events and stuff and different, like, he be at Jewish stuff and all that. His daddy be around. Like, I don't know if he's looking for his next Jewish baby mama or what, but he outside. He be outside. So, I don't know. But as far as the beef goes, the rap battle, I'm loving it. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. I think I'm so proud of Kendrick. I'm so proud of him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's killing it. And he's like in the lab just bringing it. And the punchlines are there. Like, he's killing it. I'm proud of him. And I'm proud of Drake, too.
Okay.
He has a airplane.
It's a great battle.
It's an airplane.
It's an airplane. Now, I think it's a little, they going a little below the belt, but.
Ooh, they way below the belt.
Yeah, they way below the belt. They going, it's deep.
Yeah.
But it's like a real rap battle. I love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we get at a cypher or something. Yeah.
And we ain't had one of these in a long time.
Yeah.
A real good one.
Feel like I'm back on the school bus.
Yeah.
And you went to Israel too. How was that?
That was a great experience for me. I went there because I wanted to see all the stuff I read about in the Bible and the Torah and the Quran. Mm-hmm. And so, and I got to see all those things, all those places. It's a very spiritual place. Everybody and their mama there. Mm-hmm. I thought I was just going to see like people that look like, Middle Easterns. But no. Everybody and their mama there. I saw a dude making tacos on the side of the road. He was Mexican, and them tacos was fire. it was a lot of black people. The African-American diaspora is huge out there. A lot of them live in Dimona, and they're Jewish. Mm-hmm. And so I was hanging out with them, and that was super awesome.
And you went by yourself?
Yeah, I met up with some friends out there. I met up with some people out there. I sat with all the Ethiopian Jews, and that was really good and informative. And what I learned is that no matter where you are, when you black, you get shitted on. Because they going through the same things. It felt, the weather and everything and the way things looked, it felt kind of like California to me. And as they're describing the lifestyle and what's going on over there, for them, it sounds like L.A. It sounds like the same shit. It's a... Wow. They gangbangers come from another place, and they come over there. But it is what it is. It's life. It's in the shit. I'm very disappointed in, like, what's going on. I don't support all that stuff. I'm about peace, and all these lives is just it's kind of depressing. It's very depressing. Not even kind of. It's very depressing and it's very sad. But it's something that's been going on for thousands of years over there. When I went, I learned about like how the Romans came in and did stuff and how the Ottoman Empire came in and did what they did. And like even King David came over there, like when he got Jerusalem, what he did. And I mean, I remember reading about it in the Bible, but like actually seeing it and how he like went for the Canaanites' heads and all that. Like, I'm just like, yo, to see it, it makes it resonate different, right? Like, and then everything I learned in world history, like I went to Masada, I went to Sakhna, I went to the Dead Sea, not the Dead Sea.
The Red Sea, right?
The Red Sea.
It's the Dead Sea.
Yeah, it's the salt water.
Yeah, that's the Dead Sea. Which it ain't dead. That salt is growing up, all kind of stuff. But when I went there, it's like all the stuff that I learned in world history, I'm seeing it for real life, and it made it hit different. Like, I love listening to the history teacher tell us stuff, but I did not like reading this stuff because I couldn't read that good, no ways. But I used to love to hear it, right? And it always stayed in my mind. And then when I go there, it's like, oh, this is where the Romans were, and this is where this is. And like, I read an article where they said Israel's paying all this money to build thousands of tunnels and stuff. I don't know about the thousands of tunnels in Israel, but I know about that one tunnel in Israel that they where they excavated the mikveh, and the mikveh is like where they do like, where they would come and clean themselves, like that's where baptism started. And it's two Olympic sized pools, and the archaeologists dug it up. And then there's this walkway that you go up that's kind of like a mall. It feels like you're in a mall, and it leads up to the temple. And that's the same path that's where Jesus came every year. He would come there. Everybody, every Jew came there every year, and they would jump in that mikveh and they would share news and all that. And then they would go up that trail to the temple. And that's the same path that Jesus, was his real name is Yeshua. The Romans named him Jesus like years later. His name is Yeshua. It's the same path that Yeshua walked to go be assassinated. And it was really powerful for me. I don't know why I felt like I was like in a mall / around a bunch of like ancestors. And there's a rock that the Muslim mosque is built around, and the wall is up against where the Jews go pray, and the Catholic church and the Protestant church, like three different Christian churches right there. And the churches are built right where Jesus was crucified. And then the mosque and the wall is around this rock where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, right? And I don't know what's in that rock, but it was so powerful. Like, I could feel it right now. And maybe I'm just, you know, sensitive or whatever, but it's something there. And they say it's God. And I'm not sure, but if feel like it is.
Mm.
It feel if it's with me. Like, it was so powerful. And I prayed at the wall, and I went by the mosque, and I went in all the churches, and they said this is where Jesus was laid to rest when they put him down, like after they took him off the cross. I'm not sure if that's real or not, but there's some energy there. And I don't know if it's the energy of all the ancestors or all the people that went there, or if I felt the way I felt because I did all this research and I saw how black Jerusalem was. Even I found videos in the library of the 1920s and the 30s, and it was all black, and they all looked like Ethiopians, right? They all Ethiopian. And it was so beautiful. And it's still beautiful, but you can see all the wars. You can see the stuff in it. I went to the kibbutz where the 3,000 Palestinians came in and take the people and whatnot. And it's sad.
Yeah,
it's so sad that, you know, we can't be better. Like there are thousands of years. It's the same thing. Keep repeating itself. Why? Why so much hate towards each other? We all bleed the same. We all whatever. We just worship God different. You hate me because of how I worship God?
Yeah.
Or just because I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm confused still, but I'm learning all the time, and I want to go back and learn more, and I want to help. I want to help rebuild. I want to help in whatever way that I can. And I don't know. The world got on me because I said what I always say when I leave the country. I've been saying that. When I went to Iraq to go do comedy for the troops, nobody said shit. And I said the same thing. Maybe I'll meet a man. Who knows? You know? I went to go make the troops laugh, and nobody said nothing. And America was over there killing way more. We killed a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But
What happened? At where was you at? An outside joke appearance? What is that?
Yeah. So I was at the Netflix is not a joke. Netflix not a joke. I was at a show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Outside and for
said,
Netflix.
They said you went on a rant about college protests.
Yeah, I went off because people were saying, you know, they were saying what they were saying, mm-hmm. and they was like, "You got to support the colleges," and I'm like, "I don't want to support people tearing up a school. I don't think that's the way to go about it. If you really want if you want stuff like this to stop happening, if you're protesting the genocide that's going on and you want that to stop happening, I think there's some better ways to go about making it stop happening. Mm-hmm. Blocking people from going to class is not going to be the thing. I don't think that's going to be the thing because that's what the Nazis did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They blocked the Jews. They blocked the Jehovah's Witnesses. They killed a lot of people. They didn't just kill Jews. They was killing everybody that was not like them. Mm-hmm. So like, and they were blocking them from getting their education, blocking them from being able to have a living. They were hurting them. And so, like, to me, if you really want to be changed, you want to make change, you really want to be effective, you really want this to stop, then start learning, get yourself educated and get in there and change the laws. Change mm-hmm. how we get in NATO or whatever, the international, whatever you got to be on, Senate, all that, like, change the laws, change how we move. You know, that's what I would do. That's what, if you really wanted to change, like, be effective and get involved in government.
Well, I think they're protesting to get those legislators' attention so those legislators can
implement become a lobbyist. Mm-hmm. Go be a lobbyist and get their attention. You get their attention better if you take them to dinner. You know what I'm saying? You can be a lot. Those lobbyists, and they make good money too. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to change things, like corporations hire lobbyists to change laws so they can do what they want to do, right? So if you want to change something, go talk to them. Show up at their office. Don't tear up the school and block somebody else from getting an education. And I'm looking, they running around with, you know, trash can shields, running into the police and stuff. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is our future. This is our these are our future professors, our lawyers, our doctors. Like, this is our future. Like, and then they're yelling stuff. They don't even understand why the war is happening. They don't even know the history of it, what's behind it. Like, and they're just, you know, in an outrage. And then you yelling for Gaza, but you ain't saying nothing for the Congo. 12 million people been killed over there. You ain't said shit about all these black people that's been getting killed for 100 years. Let's just go the last 100 years. We've been getting slaughtered over there. And nobody's saying anything. There was a war in my father's country for 30 years. And nobody said shit about it in America. Y'all didn't protest. Y'all didn't nothing because it was black people. Mm. Straight up. In Cameroon, they was over there killing, just slaughtering them. Y'all didn't say shit. Y'all didn't do nothing. Nobody cared. It was on social media for a second. Like, I pay attention to what's going on, where we at. Like, how are we doing? Like, black people, we wasn't doing so good in Gaza, okay? We wasn't doing so good over there. There's slavery. There is slavery still. There's slavery, and it's a lot of us still in slavery. Mm. And there's a lot of us being killed. So for me, I'm like, and if you want to protest like that, I want to see you protesting like that for the 12 million that's been killed just in the Congo.
So you don't disagree with the protest. You just disagree with how they're protesting.
How they protesting is not, I don't agree with how they protesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, protest, yes. Protest, yes. If you think that's going to make a change, yeah. If you think it's going to make a difference, it's going to make people pay attention, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the way y'all going about it, I don't think it's right. I don't think you spray painting the library is going to really make anything change. I know niggas been spray painting the library for years, mm-hmm. and they just shut the library down. Mm-hmm. That's all they did.
Yeah.
Like, so no, I don't think that's the way to go about it. I think the way to go about it is to get into legislation, to show up to your congressman's office, show up to your senator's office, show up, sit outside their office and protest. Put the pressure on them. Doing it at the schools ain't putting no pressure on them. They just like, oh, they up there at the school cutting up, whatever. Yeah. Like, and we, like, as a 20-something-year-old, like, do you invigorated teenager? Yeah, like, that's protest. It's been happening every decade. It's always happened. Women was out there burning their bras. But y'all out here angry about, you know, what's going on over there in Gaza and this genocide when they about to make pass laws over our bodies, women's bodies. We ain't going to be able to have no choice in what we do. And like
Roe v. Wade already overturned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, hello, we need to be paying attention. The distraction is real. Like, you're not going to, it's going to be Handmaid's Tale out here. Mm-hmm. When you start really reading all the legislation, read everything. Like, mm-hmm. it's about to be Handmaid's Tale out here. You about to be, like, it's going to be crazy. Like, you voluntarily want to be pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a voluntary thing. Like, but there's going to be situations where it's going to be involuntary. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, if you read the legislations, mm-hmm. and I might not be articulating this the best, but I'm concerned for our future. And I'm concerned when our youth are, all their knowledge is coming from TikTok and Instagram, and they not really like doing the real research and really reading. They just taking some blogger's word for it. It's like, no, go look the shit up. Go look up these legislations. If you want, like, there's no doubt there is a genocide happening. There's no doubt about that. But like, that's not the only one that's happening right now. Mm. So if we're going to be protesting genocide, if we against genocide, we need to be against all the genocides, not just the lighter genocide, all the, like the black, the brown, everybody, mm-hmm. everybody.
Mm. Yeah.
We're not, it don't need to just be from the river to the sea. You need to be like, recycle these cell phones and stop killing the Congolese. Mm-hmm. Like,
yep.
But don't get me started. Right. I'm started. Okay. Anyways, I Curse You With Joy is out today. Mm-hmm. Get it on audio or a physical book, hard copy at any local bookstore. The audio version is off the chain because I'm definitely bringing it, and some of my music is on there. Ooh. And I'm really excited about the music that's coming for you. So, yeah.
I Curse You With Joy.
That's right.
It's out right now. And listen, it's going to air tomorrow. So tonight, me and Tiffany will be at Barnes & Noble Union Square at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. having a great discussion about I Curse You With Joy. So in New York City, meet us there.
Yeah, and it'll be a lot more fun. I won't be in my feelings so much. It's in the morning.
It's okay if you are.
Absolutely. I know. It's good if you express yourself.
That's right.
It's
so meet us tonight, Union Square, 7 p.m., Barnes & Nobles. That's right. We'll be talking Tiffany Haddish's new book, I Curse You With Joy.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's The Breakfast Club. It's Tiffany Haddish.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.